Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Endow Podcast, a conversation not just about the feminine genius in general, but about cultivating your particular feminine genius through the Catholic intellectual tradition and intentional community. Well, hello, Endow ladies. Simone here, and I'm so excited to have with me today Teresa Kenny. Welcome, Teresa.
Hey, thank you, Simone. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, so excited to have you. We talked many, many moons ago about doing this interview because it's such an important thing to talk about. So Teresa is a women's health nurse practitioner, and she is very passionate about this subject. She is a host of the Hormone Genius podcast, which I've recommended to many, many friends, and they have all gotten back to me and said, this is an answer to prayer, the things that they're learning on this podcast. So thank you so much for starting that and for providing another resource for women's health that I can use and share with the church and with the world. And you're in Omaha, Nebraska, right?
Yep.
We were speaking off record about how I just think Omaha is just an exceptionally normal, lovely place. And so excited.
Yeah, I think people who have never been here would be surprised. So come to Omaha. It's a cool place. We've got great things. You know, it's not the most beautiful place in the world. I'm never going to say that. But I think people are surprised at how much is here.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's how I was when I first got there. I thought, oh, this is surprising and lovely. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm also hoping this conversation can be another resource to accompany our Endow study on Humanae Vitae, of human life, by Pope Paul VI. So, Teresa, tell me about what you do and what Catholic women and all women actually need to know about when it comes to their health.
So let me just start, because you mentioned, of course, Humanae Vitae, and this is kind of central to why I am doing what I'm doing. And I don't think I realized it for many years, but I was born on July 25th. And so if any of you know, Humanae Vitae, the encyclical, was released on July 25th, or published in 1968 on that day. And so looking back at my life, I, of course, feel that I was called by God to what I am doing. So it's very, very central and important to me, Humanae Vitae is. And it's such a beautiful document, and I just reread it last night just because I knew I was doing this interview, and I just wanted to feel connected to it again. But if I look back at my life in terms of women's health and really my heart in terms of how I was called towards it, when I was young, my mother used to take me to Planned Parenthood, and we would pray in front of it. So this is a very pivotal kind of experience as a middle school to high school girl, where I see women go into a place to do this thing called abortion, and not understanding it, but realizing, and of course, knowing that my mom thought that was wrong, you know, that we were praying for them.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for years later that I think I could fully understand the impact on women. I think most of us understand, of course, the impact on the baby, but the impact on women, I think sometimes hearts are not quite fully understanding of.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, as I grew into becoming an adult, you know, I really started to learn more, and my heart became more compassionate towards women in this area. So fast forward to college, I become a nurse and go through that training. And when I'm finished with that, I really still felt this call that God wanted me to continue my education. And so I decided to be a women's health nurse practitioner. We have a great program at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And I'll never forget my head of my department in my nursing school saying to me, Teresa, this is not going to be a good idea. It's not going to be a good idea for you. She's like, yeah, you know, your values are really beautiful. And she's like, but you're going to really struggle in this education tract.
Wow.
And I was like, huh, you know, and of course, naive and yeah, ignorant to really what she probably fully meant. I was like, but gosh, doesn't there have to be people on the other side of the issue? You know, if I'm the only one, that's okay, because I'll be the only one in the place that I hold my beliefs in.
Yeah.
You'll so I trudged forward and went through the nurse practitioner.
Yeah. You'll be salt and light where you're sent, which is the point.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt this strong feeling that God was saying, just go forward with it. And so I did. And it actually turned out really well. I mean, there was some bumps along the road because people wonder, how do I hold up my values and faith in an education program, especially in a medical career? And I've given lots of advice on that throughout the years to young women and men. But I was able to get through that. And at the end of it, I didn't want to participate, of course, in certain things that would be done. And I didn't want to train under certain providers like at Planned Parenthood. So I had to find my own experiences. And I ended up in an experience with a physician who was practicing NAPRO technology, which of course started with Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. Oh, I had no idea.
I didn't know that it started with Pope Paul VI Institute.
That's right. That's where the whole thing is, right in Omaha, Nebraska again. It's another shout out to Omaha for the heart of NAPRO technology.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I was able to train under him, and he introduced me to this concept of the idea that there isn't just this idea of you don't prescribe birth control and that's it.
Right.
You cannot prescribe birth control, but there has to be something else. You know, you have to offer to women what they need in healthcare.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this is a whole thing that I can do. This is like what I need. And so I ended up writing a letter to the founder of NAPRO Technology, Dr. Thomas Hilgers, in Omaha, Nebraska, and saying, hey, I'm a nurse practitioner. I think I would fit in practicing with you. I said, if you're interested in having me, please let me know. And he, you know, called me into his office. And I, you know, just completed 20 years at now the St. Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. So that's kind of a short, just nutshell of how I got to the point of becoming a women's health nurse practitioner.
That's beautiful. I love the significance of your birthday. I'm always looking for God winks, you know, and signs of personal vocation. But, you know, I remember as a kid going to the doctor and, you know, if I had acne breakouts and the dermatologist trying to give me birth control and me, you know, saying, why would you do that? That's not going to help.
smart.
Well, I have a family that's in healthcare, but it wasn't so much the Catholic morality end of it as more like, this is bad healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I was very blessed to have that, have my family, you know, of the natural healing kind of persuasion in the medical field. But, you know, I think that was intimidating for the physician. So I'd be like, why would you do that? And I start like listing other things that they could have said to me, you know, just kind of evangelizing them. Like, that's awesome. why would you mask symptoms with anyway? But also as a high school moral theology teacher, you know, teaching the Catholic morality end of things, and then just like, you know, what's good healthcare, what's bad healthcare? Healthcare is supposed to be healing and restorative. So I really appreciate it as part of your story that, you know, we can't just say, hey, don't take birth control. We have to offer a truly restorative and healing solution. So can you explain for someone who's never even heard of NAPRO technology, what is that?
So natural procreative technology, that's what that word breaks down to. So NAPRO stands for natural procreative technology. And it's just the way that word is, it doesn't really explain it very well, I think. What it is finding the underlying root cause of disease. So we know that when you go to a doctor and you go in with symptoms, their job is to be a detective, right? Their job is to say, okay, here's your symptoms. And what is it that's causing that? Can I find the underlying root of that, right, to restore or heal the problem? And NAPRO technology is just that. In women's healthcare, its design is to try to understand the underlying root cause of disease. How Dr. Hilgers kind of came to this approach was that he was starting to have women chart their cycles. And the Creighton model system was developed by Dr. Hilgers. It's a standardized method of charting cycles used for achieving and avoiding pregnancy. But what happened was, is as he would bring women in and start looking at their charts, he would see patterns. You know, just like anything, we see patterns, we see markers in people's physiology in this chart that led to him being able to understand what was going on. And it also led to an understanding of how to test for certain hormonal disruptions, infertility, PMS, PCOS, all of these different things began to unfold within the chart. Is almost being like a window into the woman's body. And through that, he realized this was a gold mine in terms of being able to understand how to find root cause of disease. For those who don't know it, birth control is helpful on a symptomatic standpoint for some women, meaning that if you went to the doctor and you had acne, let's say, or you had painful periods, and they prescribe that medication, it is very possible you could feel better or your symptom could go away. But the question we have to ask is, does it actually heal the root problem? And the answer is no. There's nothing in the birth control pill that actually treats a disease.
Right.
It overlays over a healthy functioning system to stop a symptom from bothering you anymore. So, the thought is that women desire answers. And they desire a treatment that gets to the root cause, but also doesn't harm their body.
I was going to say, it doesn't not just heal, it also hurts in other ways and in significant
ways. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which you obviously, talk to your doctor about, because most women aren't educated enough, unfortunately, and they're intimidated by physicians too.
They
to
are.
Know
yep.
How to approach that question and, how to say, hey, I'm worried about, what I've heard about the birth control pill in terms of these side effects. What do you think about that? They don't feel qualified, you could say, as the patient to be able to address that with their physician. Oftentimes they feel as if they told me to take it, they're the doctor, I should take it.
Right, exactly. This is like the big problem in healthcare is that, the doctor says so, of course, so who would know more? But a lot of doctors aren't they aren't trained in this stuff. They don't, and they're so used to the pressure from the pharmaceuticals, and there's obviously other agendas going on, but it's an easy fix, right? Especially in our very quick pace. It's hard to find a doctor who's going to sit with you and really look at your symptoms and care for you as a whole person. Unfortunately, in a lot of healthcare systems, it's you got to get people in, you got to get them out as fast as possible. And here's a prescription, go.
Yeah, and exactly how medicine works. And I don't fault the physicians because that's how they're trained to do medicine. And they are not given education about the woman's cycle to understand how this approach could actually fit in.
Right.
So I don't blame them for it. I just know that, just after years of practicing this way and after now doing the podcast, women desire this. And I always say that it's not going to be doctors who change the culture in terms of how we approach women's healthcare. It will be the patients. Patients drive medicine, right? Because they're the ones keeping medicine clinics alive.
Right.
So if you as a woman say, I don't want that approach, doctor, because I want to find the problem and I am concerned about being on these synthetic hormones, the doctor says, okay, well, I have one of two options. I have to tell you, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do for you. And leave, or I have to figure out how to find another approach for you as a patient.
Yeah. So for the women that you serve, what are the problems that you're seeking to fix? So you mentioned some of them, like high PMS symptoms, PCOS, I'm assuming endometriosis, infertility. Does that cover kind of what women are coming to see you for?
It covers a lot of it. Certainly, Simone, it covers a lot. And again, I can't stress enough, and this is why when I started doing the podcast, the whole mission of the podcast is to empower women to be the genius of their own hormones.
Yes.
Meaning that the foundation of all of this is having a unique understanding of the woman's body. And most women go through high school, go through college, never experiencing that.
Right.
How do I connect? And this goes to, of course, the dignity of the human person and back to Humana Vitae.
Right.
Meaning that we know that if we have a connectedness to us and we understand our own physiology, that's a holistic part of us, right? It's connected to our body, it's connected to our mind, and it's connected to our spirit. So I have always known that if I can connect a woman to her cycle and her hormones, all of a sudden you've created something where the woman is able to see her body differently, respect it differently, see the dignity of it differently. And desire a truth that all women hold, which is that she deserves better than what she's getting in terms of healthcare. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen the light bulb go on for a woman. And, just recently this week, I had a woman who had been on the pill for 15 years. She wasn't even sure why she was taking it anymore. Again, it just gets prescribed year after year,
right?
Almost like a vitamin, almost like It's healthy.
Oh yeah, exactly. Almost like a vitamin. Like it's a serious drug. I used to take the side effects and I'd show them to my high school students and have them read it out loud. And like, you know, other like the IUD and all this other stuff during those, that part of the moral theology course. And they're like, this is like Mr. Scala, this is crazy. Like, look at all these. I'm like, right. So is what you're trying to get out of it worth this when there are other options that, like you said, because it's not just like, oh, we want to avoid the pill because we're married or Catholic, or yes, that's all very important and true. And Pope Paul VI is a prophetic genius on that. But like the deeper connection is like what you were saying about women's dignity, right? Mm-hmm. Like we deserve to feel good, to be healthy, to be connected to ourselves, and to thrive. So what would you say to women listening who have like middle school girls? Because we have middle school studies and middle school communities. What should they preemptive strike that, right? And they're just normal women who like trust their doctor and they just don't know. Like, what would you tell the moms of middle schoolers and high schoolers? What could they start doing?
Well, first and foremost, like education is so important, even at middle school level. Empowerment is very, very important. Most of us, when we went through 11, 12, 13, 14, we were told about our periods, kind of how to handle it hygienically, but nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're expected to just kind of go along and then get the education from the education system regarding, you know, sex and birth control and whatnot you may get. If you, from a middle school age, start talking about cervical mucus, you know, the main event. So, you know, we have to understand the period is an after event. It is something that happens because something else big happened a couple weeks before that thing.
Right.
And so if we can talk to young women about the main event, the important thing that happens, and, you know, you don't have to do this in a way that, you know, destroys their natural kind of innocence. You know, you can do it in a progressive way. They're going to see that stuff in their underwear. They're going to wonder what that is. And to be honest, the very last thing a young woman sees before she even starts her very first period ever is mucus. And no woman gets told that when they're young. And so let's start with just an education in your body as a woman, knowing that this is normal and healthy and good. And what is that thing that's happening when that mucus is being produced? That's the main event. That's the big thing. That is what allows you someday to become a mother. And it's awesome and good. The after event, you know, we have to talk about how to take care of it. But I just wish so many times mothers would be equipped, because it's not their fault, but they're also inequipped because they didn't get that education.
Right, right.
To share that good news. Now, we've got more and more programs popping up all over for, you know, teachers in fertility care who are offering, you know, middle school programs to teach this and to offer those services, which is great. So that's number one, is just the education. And number two, when you go to your pediatrician because your daughter's cycles were irregular, or maybe she bled for 3 weeks instead of 1 week, or she's having pain and she has an ovarian cyst, just know that there is an alternative to birth control. Again, it can feel very overwhelming and confusing when the pediatrician says, no, I'm sorry, this is what she has to do. If it's abnormal bleeding, there are different ways, natural ways. There's, you know, bioidentical hormone ways to actually correct those problems. And, you know, there's lists of doctors who are willing to approach their care in that way. So there is answers. And the other thing is that when you start your period when you're 12, it is not supposed to be regular.
Yeah.
It takes 4 to 6 years for your reproductive system to fully mature. So some irregularity in the beginning is okay. And I like to refer to it as working out the kinks in the system.
Right.
So don't panic. Monitor as long as the person's not in pain and, you know, something serious is going on. There is the ability to wait and watch, because that's how it goes. You know, our bodies have to figure this out.
Yeah, that's supremely helpful. I've been moved by non-Catholic, even non-Christian friends of mine who have just rejected hormonal birth control and have turned to me because they understand that as a Catholic, I would reject that anyway. We know that you can take birth control for health reasons, right? That's right. But they understand that even if it's not good healthcare, it's not immoral if you're taking it for the right reasons in the right context. So just clearing that up. hopefully that was clear, because there's a lot of confusion out there. But yeah, but they know that they can come to me because I'm obviously going to be like pro everything, like pro like natural health and natural healing and just alternatives to the pill, which is so destructive. And there seems to be a lot of secular female healthcare people out there that have nothing to do with the Catholic Church that are like on the anti-birth control bandwagon. I've been feeling very hopeful about it. Have you noticed that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could, it's a definite yes. And I think you could say it somewhat starts with just the natural organic movement that's been building over the years, knowing that, gosh, we have a lot of toxicities in our environment.
Yeah.
Things that we have to think about, our food and what goes into the land and in the air. And so all of that, I think, has really pushed a movement of how can we reduce our exposure to toxins? I'll never forget reading a whole article from like University of Southern California. It was all about environmental disruption with what disrupts hormones. And it was like herbicides and pesticides and plastics and then birth control. And you know, they went through all of the risks and what happens to the environment, what happens to animals in these different endocrine disruptions. And at the end of it, they said, but let's work on all of these things and not birth control, because we, of course, can't take birth control away from people.
Yeah.
So there's an acknowledgement in society that we realize this probably is bad, but they're not willing to address it because control of fertility kind of trumps over everything.
Yeah.
The thought that you have to prevent a woman from getting pregnant, you know, is something so big and important that, you know, blood clots, cancer, all sorts of other health consequences.
Embolism. I mean,
yeah, kind of go under that. So, but there is this movement, this organic movement where I don't want to put these synthetic hormones in my body. Yeah. It doesn't matter what religion you are. And through my podcast, we're getting all sorts of people reaching out saying, what can I do? What is the approach that I could take? Because I would like to not have this synthetic hormone stuff in my body.
Yeah.
And it's neat to see that. And kind of, I mean, for me, it's kind of scary almost, because I'm like, okay, like we've got more and more women interested in this. Before, it's always been the church and, you know, the people following church's teaching and maybe a right. few outliers, but I do think, you know, there's a movement towards it wanting to be more holistic in the body.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely noticed that. Yeah. Just the amount of people in my life, friends in my life, who are like, I'm sick of this. I can't live this way anymore. I don't feel like a person. I don't feel like myself. I'm tired of this. And I know that you got some information. So can you point me in the right direction? So that's been very, very hopeful to me. I mean, what's the point of eating organic tomatoes if you're going to take the birth control pill?
Yeah. No. And I mean, I like to say, like, women who have been on the pill for years and years, they do not know the real hormonal them. You know, it's a false sense of who you are, really. And you're right. So many women, like, they just don't feel themselves. They almost can't put their finger on it sometimes, but it's not who they really know they are. And it's scary for them to kind of let go of that, but so awesome and exciting to find a woman after 15 years of being on the pill, being like, I'm done. Tell me what you can give me. And I'm like, hey, all you have to do is let go of it and let's just see what happens. You know, like, this is the getting to know the real hormone you person. And to them, they've never even, you know, contemplated that before.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of an amazing position for me to be in and walk in women's journeys in that. It's very exciting.
Yeah. It's so exciting. I love this. Well, I could keep talking about this forever, but And again, we're just talking about kind of like the health aspect. We're not even talking about the spiritual stuff, you know, how the relationships change, how marriages change, how, you know, we're body soul composite. So if one is healthy, the other one has greater potential to be healthy. But it's fascinating to me how much interest is being, you know, you're just tired of feeling sick and need healing. So, anything else that you think, like, is part of your mission that you really want Endow Women and Endow Friends, and the men who listen to this podcast as well, to know about?
Yeah. So, well, here's the deal. I mean, the Hormone Genius podcast was Holy Spirit inspired, 100%. I've been passionately talking about this stuff for years,
And what better way than in a podcast to be able to share with thousands and thousands of people a message that speaks to so many hearts? And I know it is, because the feedback we're getting is incredible in terms of how women receive the information, how it's so vital for them, and how they want to share it with all of their friends.
Right, right.
So my goal is, you know, we're just finishing season one. We, you know, started it in August. So we're launching season two in August of 2021. And we're going to do what we've been doing, which is sharing like more vital information about how to approach women's health issues, to give women information, power, and tools to go to their doctor and say, hey, actually, I'm aware of this. I understand this a little bit better. And we want to talk to other experts, of course, in this area. And we'll continue to do interviews with amazing people who have also words of wisdom and truth to share into the dignity of women and men. And because I never want to forget men in this too.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, and I shout out to men as much as I can in our podcast, because this is not something women do alone.
Right.
You know, we are a part of a whole, you know, when we talk about the beauty of fertility care and how it can be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So let's remember that men can benefit from this information as well, because they love women, and so many men desire to respect women, and this helps them knowing how a woman's body works and how to respect the unique design and feminine design of a woman is vital as well. So, I mean, I want to get men now, you know, involved in the podcast. I hope to have my husband on for us to do something. Oh,
love that.
Oh, and by the way, it's my anniversary today. It's 21 years with my husband, Dan. Oh, and, you know, we have 8 kids, and what a blessing. You know, it's always a journey, and it's not without struggle. And that's the thing. It's never without struggle, but I just feel so blessed to be here at this point in my marriage, but also to be able to, again, share this information with the world, really.
That's awesome. Happy anniversary. And like I said, I was so happy when the podcast was released, because it was just like another tool in my tool belt for when my, you know, friends and contacts and network reach out, and I could just say, here, this is it. And like I said, the feedback was incredible. So thank you so much for doing that. Definitely, I'll link it to this podcast and this YouTube channel. And yeah, just grateful to you and all your work and your mission, which God clearly designed from the day of your birth. So thank you so much, Teresa. And I look forward to more conversations in the future about these things, because it's super important, and it's a way to kind of reclaim our dignity, a huge, actually, just crucial way for women to reclaim their dignity.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Simone. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If this episode was helpful for you, please consider sharing it with a friend or two. We would also appreciate it so much if you left a rating and review so that more women can discover Endow and our mission to help women cultivate their unique feminine genius. Please also check out the link below to learn how to become a monthly donor to help defray podcast production costs. And of course, if you'd like to talk to me about joining or starting your own Endow group, please email me at simone.rascala@endowgroups.org. And remember, you are the heart of Endow.